Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to those watching with us. The name of the message today is called, Whom Do You Serve? Whom do you serve? And I want to start in Deuteronomy 5, in verse 6 and 7. And this is the very first commandment. It says, I am Yahweh your Elohim who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery. You shall have no other Elohim before me. You shall have no other Elohim before me. Now, I did a couple of years ago a whole sermon just on this one scripture, the first commandment, which I'm not going to do today, but I want to start from there because if we're talking about whom do you serve, that's got to be the first question in our life is Yahweh above all else? Because again, we're creatures of habit, and a lot of times we do what other people do or what we see, and that's a problem with today because the whole world is so messed up that we think because we're not as bad as the next guy that, you know, we're okay. We're in actuality, with a lot of things, we're not okay. But putting Yahweh first is not just, you know, having a certain doctrine. It's not just reading your Bible for a few minutes a day, but it's literally having Yahweh as your priority in everything you do. And we could always have excuses, but at the end of the day, your priority is what you get done. So if you don't have a relationship with Yahweh, or you're not praying every day and studying every day and talking to Yahweh every day, it doesn't matter what the reason is, it's not your priority. So that's the first thing you have to ask yourself, with whom do you serve? If we go to Deuteronomy 10 in verse 12, it says, And now, Israel, what has Yahweh your Elohim asked of you, except to fear Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. So this is what Yahweh requires of us, all right? This is something that's not just a suggestion, it's not a good idea, but it's a requirement to be obedient if we're going to serve him. If we go to Deuteronomy 28, because what we'll see is that there were great promises that were put here to the nation of Israel. If they were to follow Yahweh and follow his commandments, but unfortunately they didn't follow. So in Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 1, it says, And it shall be, if carefully you will listen to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, taking heed to do all his commandments, which I command you today, Yahweh your Elohim shall give to you to be on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come on you and overtake you if you will listen to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. You will be blessed in the city, and you will be blessed in the field. The fruit of your body will be blessed, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your livestock, the offspring of your oxen and the young ones of your flock. Your basket and your kneading trough shall be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, and you will be blessed when you go out. Yahweh will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be stricken before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Yahweh will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and all that you set your hand to do. And he will bless you in the land which Yahweh your Elohim has given to you. And just to stop there for a minute, you know, as we read this, and it's primarily to the nation of Israel, but today we have a physical nation of Israel, you know, that's over there in the Middle East, that Yahweh has restored after more than 2,500 years of diaspora. But we also have a spiritual nation of Israel, of Israelites that we are. We are a spiritual nation, right? So these blessings are both to the physical land of Israel and to the Israelites that are living in diaspora. And, you know, as I read this, the one thing I think of in a physical way, I don't see Israel really obtaining these blessings the way they should have. If you really think about it, after 2,520 years of Israel being in diaspora and everything they went through, the end of it being the Holocaust, and then Yahweh gives them their freedom again and gives them a land. And all of these scriptures that should have happened to them, you know, we see a lot of prophecies that have come to pass as far as Yahweh putting them back in the land and doing these things. But we don't see really these prophecies of blessings being fulfilled. Why? Because Israel didn't put Yahweh first. So it's no different in our life as spiritual Israelites. If we're having problems in our life, the whole reason we're having problems in our life is because we're not putting Yahweh first there. And he says, Yahweh will establish you a holy people to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of Yahweh, your Elohim, and walk in his ways. And Israel is just sworn in, or they are swearing in now, a new government. First time there'll be a government without Prime Minister or ex-Prime Minister Netanyahu in the last 12, 13 years. But if you look at their agenda, and I've read it, a lot of it has to do with the gay and lesbian. Almost every single person that signed on to this government, and I think there's 6 or 7 different factions that are completely against each other. Everything from far left to almost far right, but all, except for the one really far right Yamina group, they all want more lesbian and gay rights in Israel, which is not going to be a good thing for Israel. They also want to make sure that there is no Sabbath laws at all anymore. Shopping centers, stores, buses, everything that is going to be running. So how on earth can they expect these blessings to come if they're violating Yahweh's word? So we'll see what happens. I don't expect this government to last too long, but we'll see about it. But why did it even form to begin with? Why would the very right-wing religious group with Naftali Bennett even join with a left-wing government that is all for this other stuff? We will see. We will see. But we have to think the same way, like I said, as spiritual Israelites. If we want these blessings in our life, then we have to be obedient. And this, now verse 10 is pretty interesting. And the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Yahweh, and they will be afraid of you. And really, the focus of this message is more on whom do you serve. It's more, do we serve for the kingdom of Yahweh, or are we serving for the new world order? And that's the point. You know, when I think of this verse, the people of the earth will see you and be called by the name of Yahweh, and they will be afraid of you. And here we are at a time, right, where we're just about to the time with the persecution coming. We know the fifth seal of Revelation and the great martyrism that's coming. But my question for each person to ask themselves is, are you afraid of them, or are they afraid of you? Are you more afraid of the New World Order and the vaccine and the Mark of the Beast and all this other stuff? Or are they afraid of you? And I can tell you firsthand, you know, from all years in Israel, there's been many times that people were afraid to do something to me because they knew that Yahweh was protecting and they knew that Yahweh was there. So are you more afraid of them, or are they more afraid of you? And Yahweh will prosper you in goods and in the fruit of your body and in the fruit of your livestock and the fruit of the ground and the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers to give it. I think of when we're doing now our communities around the world, you know, that I keep getting every week more updates, how things are growing, the things they're doing, how they're being blessed. Yahweh will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And I think of, you know, the United States of Babylon today, right? That's become the greatest debtor nation on the face of the earth, going on $30 trillion. And that's just in unfunded liabilities. If you put funded liabilities, or unfunded liabilities rather, the unfunded liabilities of Medicare and Medicaid, you're talking about $100-something trillion. It's a number that's not even real. You can't imagine what that number is. But, you know, the country started with being the greatest lending country, and now they're the greatest debtor nation. And Yahweh will make you the head and not the tail, right? We're seeing that changing right now. We're seeing China become the head, you know, and Babylon become the tail. And we know what's coming. We know war and these other things. And you shall be above, you shall be only above, and you shall not be beneath, if you heed the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I am commanding you today, to be watchful to do them. So this is where we're at, right? If Israel obeyed, they would be blessed. They would be head over their rivals, and Yahweh would protect them. And it's the same, like I said, in our personal life. But did this happen? No, it didn't happen. Matter of fact, if we go to Exodus 14, right before the Red Sea was parted and opened. This is at the Red Sea when what happens, Israel, Yahweh does the 10 plagues. He does the plague of the firstborn. Can you imagine that, you know, in all these other plagues, like you could say, well, hey, maybe this was just a coincidence, right? But then all of a sudden you start to see darkness in all the land of Egypt, but no darkness in Goshen. And then the death of the firstborn. It's not just people dying, it's only a firstborn dying, you know? How does a plague only hit the firstborn? But only the firstborn of Egypt, not the firstborn of Israel. So they saw all these things. They saw the power of Yahweh. And did they trust him to him at that point? Let's see. Verse 8 of chapter 14. And Yahweh hardened Pharaoh, king of Egypt's heart. And he pursued the sons of Israel. This is after they left. They're on the way to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel were going out with a high hand. And the Egyptians pursued them, and they overtook them camping by the sea, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, by Pi-hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And we've been there many times, right? Even Pi-hahiroth, the fort that is still there today, that's, you know, more than 3,500 years old. And Pharaoh came near, and the sons of Israel raised their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were pulling up after them. And they were greatly afraid, and the sons of Israel cried to Yahweh. Now, what are they crying to Yahweh? You think they're saying, Yahweh, protect us. Yahweh, we trust you. No, listen what they say. Were there no graves in Egypt that you've taken us to die in the wilderness? What is this you've done to us to bring us out from Egypt? Is this not the word we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, go away from us and let us serve the Egyptians? Somehow I didn't see that in my Bible. I saw they were oppressed. I saw they were crying out for deliverance. But now, after all the miracles they saw, this is what they're saying. Go away from us, Moses. Let us serve the Egyptians. For it is good for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses, you know, and this is part of the problem today in the society we're living in today. And this is why Yahweh doesn't work in miracles. Miracles, I've always said this, miracles are an outsource of your faith. Miracles don't produce faith. You know why? Because if you see a miracle, it lasts about as long as the miracle. And then all of a sudden, the next day or the next week, it's like, was that really a miracle? Did that really happen? Maybe it was just naturally it happened. So miracles aren't there. Yahweh's not there to do, parlor tricks to make people believe him. He doesn't need to do that. Okay? He says his creation proves he's there. And if you can't believe in him by everything that's around, then you're not going to believe in him by some kind of miracle that happens. But a miracle is produced by your faith. If you have faith, then miracles will come. They're an outsource of your faith. But you see right here, you know, all the miracles that were done meant nothing. Why? Because whom were the Israelites serving? They weren't serving Yahweh. Not from day one they weren't. They never loved him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then what does Moses say? Do not be afraid, right? Because we're going to see fear really causes a lot of this stuff. Take your stand and see the salvation, Yeshua, of Yahweh, which he will prepare for you today. For as you see the Egyptians today, you shall not continue to see them again forever. Yahweh will fight for you and you be silent. We have to learn that sometimes, right? Because if we're going to fight for ourselves, then there's no need for Yahweh to intervene. So this, can you imagine? This isn't happening 10 years later or 20 years later or even a year later. This is happening just, you know, weeks after the death of the firstborn, weeks right after the plagues over there. And yet fear and self-preservation caused them to reject Yahweh. And they wanted to be in the bondage and the fear of Egypt. And, you know, what we're going through today, this is why I'm giving this message, because we're going through the same thing, right? We've been living in a Disneyland for the last 30, 40 years in the world. You know, and I know not all third world countries have lived good, but at least in first world, it's been a Disneyland. And as things have progressed, particularly in the last 20 years with internet and with social media and with, you know, 90-inch television TVs and all, every pleasure of life, and not only in the United States, but Babylon has taken to the whole world, people have been living in this fairy tale. And now COVID has been a real slap in the face. It's been a real eye-opener that, you know, life doesn't always go that way. But people want the old way back, right? It's the same when 9/11 happened, right? The week after 9/11, there was more people that went to church than any time before it. within a month, there was less people going to church than before when 9/11 happened. So that's why I said miracles don't mean nothing if you don't have faith. Miracles are an outsource of your faith, but they're not going to make you believe. And this is what we're living with now, that fear and self-preservation, the same way it caused the Israelites to reject Yahweh, it's the same way you're going to see the world today. And you watch, we're already seeing it. We're already seeing, you know, vaccine passports, immunity passports, and all this other stuff. And as it goes on, you're going to see that the world is going to hate you more and more every day. They're going to hate you more and more every day and blame you more and more every day. And this is why, like I said, you know, we haven't seen anything yet. And like Yeshua said, if they do this thing when the tree is green, right? If they do this stuff now while things are still good and you can still go to a supermarket and get food, what's going to happen when the tree dries up? And that's the book of Revelation. Read it. We're going to see what happens when the tree dries up. And they certainly ain't going to cry out to Yahweh, because as more things happen, they're going to curse Yahweh and they're going to blame Yahweh for it. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 20. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 20. And this is recapping the story of, remember when the 12 spies, one from each tribe, went into the promised land to spy out the land, and what happened there? They were afraid. They didn't want to go in, even though it was Yahweh telling them to do it. And he's recapping the story I'm going to read here. Chapter Deuteronomy 1 and chapter 20. And I said to you, you have come into the hills of the Amorites, which Yahweh your Elohim has given to you. See, Yahweh your Elohim has given the land before you. Go up, possess it, as Yahweh the Elohim of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be afraid. And you came near to me, every one of you, and said, let us send men before us, and they will search out the land for us. And they will bring us back word as to the way in which we shall go up and the cities to which we will come. And the thing was good in my eyes, and I took 12 men of you, one man for each tribe. And they turned, and I went up the hills and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it. And they took the fruit of the land of their hands and brought it down to us and brought it back word and said, the land which Yahweh Elohim has given to us is good. Right? Remember, they came with grapes. They needed a pole to carry one thing of grapes. And they were not willing to go up. They rebelled against the mouth of Yahweh your Elohim and murmured in your tents and said, because Yahweh hates us, he's brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites. Can you imagine? I mean, now they're not only lacking faith, but this is what happens with fear will do to you. You know, if you're not close to Yahweh and you're living with fear and self-preservation, they're blaming that Yahweh actually hates them and brings them out to kill them. Where shall we go up? Our brothers have melted our hearts, saying, we have seen there are people greater and taller than we, cities great and walled up to the heavens, and also the son of Anak. And I said to you, do not be terrified nor be afraid of them. Yahweh your Elohim, who goes before you, will fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you have seen how Yahweh your Elohim has borne you as a man bears his son in all the ways which you have gone until you come to this place. Yet in this thing you are not believing in Yahweh your Elohim, who went before you in the way to seek out a place for your camping in fire by night, to show you the way in which you should go, and in a cloud by day. So Yahweh was actually leading them. He was actually the one making the way, because he had the specific spot where they were to go. And Yahweh heard the sound of your words and was angry and swore, saying, not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land which I have sworn to give their fathers, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give the land in which he has walked to him and to his sons, because he has fully followed Yahweh. And Yahweh was angry with me for your sake, saying, also, you will not go in there. Yehoshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he will go in there. You shall strengthen him, for he will cause Israel to inherit. And your infants, of whom you said they are prey, and your sons, who today have no knowledge of good or evil, they will go in there, and I will give it to them, and they will possess it. So here it is, the people who were lying to say, oh, we're so worried about our children. What about our children? Yahweh said, okay, you're worried about your children. Your children will go in, and you're going to die here in the wilderness. Because not only didn't they believe in Yahweh, they were actually blaming Yahweh. And we're living in a time where the Bible tells us we're going to see things that we never thought we'd see before. But this is why they never entered the promised land. Because they had no heart to love Yahweh. They had no heart to love him. Never from the beginning. All he wanted was a relationship. And all they wanted was self-preservation. You know, that's it. So Israel feared the people more than they feared Yahweh. And that's why I say, do you fear the New World Order more than you believe in Yahweh? Because if Yahweh really did those plagues to Egypt, if he really parted the Red Sea, then you really think that he can't handle the New World Order? You really think he can't handle what's going on? I mean, the bottom line is he's allowing this for our benefit. He's allowing this for our purification and our testing. But he doesn't have to allow anything that he doesn't want to allow. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, scripture we talk about a lot when we're talking about faith, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please Yahweh, for it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I'll tell you something. You know, I say this, I'm 37 years or so in this faith. And when I was in Church of God, there were a lot of good people in Church of God. Many, many good people. And people that were trustworthy and people that were committed. But one thing that I look back now and I see there were a lot of people that were in Church of God for 20 or 30 years that never had a relationship with Yahweh. So when he says it's impossible to please him without faith, faith is simply just conviction that he's really there. And that conviction leads you to the relationship. But without the relationship, what is it? It's like, I look at Judah, our brother Judah. They're exactly what it is, because they have a lot of rules and regulations, and you know, some, they're pretty good at them. They keep them all, but they have no relationship with Yahweh. And they don't desire a relationship. It's just like when Yeshua was here in the first century. What they desire is they desire their culture. They desire their oral law. They desire what they're doing, and they desire, you know, that's about all they desire. But they're not desiring relationship with Yahweh. And that's why it's impossible to please him without faith. Because how on earth can you expect anything from Yahweh if you don't even believe that he is? And believe that he's able to handle these things. Mark 9 in verse 23. And this is when Yeshua was with the man, remember, with the child that wanted healing, and Yeshua says, Yeshua said to him, if you are able to believe, all things are possible to the ones believing. And then what does the father say of the boy as he cries out while mourning and says, I believe my master, help the lack of my faith, or help my unbelief, right? And that's all of us, you know. We believe to a degree, but we have to ask Yahweh to help our unbelief, because there's always an unbelief there, because faith is a gift. Faith is a gift, and we have to ask Yahweh for it, because it's not something we work up on our own. But it takes faith and true belief to serve Yahweh, who you don't see, over fearing the New World Order, who you do see, right? And that's where, you know, our trial comes in as human beings, because we're human beings and we see what's before us. But like it says, no man has seen Elohim at any time, right? You know, so none of us has seen the Father. So we have to believe in him in faith by his creation, all the things that's here. So, there is much proof to it. There's a lot of proof that he exists, but we've never physically seen him. But that faith has got to be stronger than your fear of the New World Order. Jacob 1 in verse 5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask Elohim, who gives to all freely and with grace, and it will be given to him, right? So, like I said, faith or wisdom, whatever it is, it's all a gift from Yahweh, and it's his unmerited pardon to us, and we have to ask, because he gives it all. But let him ask in faith, doubting nothing, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, being driven by the wind and being tossed. For do not let the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Almighty. He is a double-souled man, not dependable in all his ways, right? Double-minded, double-souled, living a double life. So in one sense, you know, they're saying they believe in Yahweh, or they believe in the Sabbath, or they believe in the name of Yahweh, whatever it is. But in another sense, they're not living it. And like I said, your priority is what you get done at the end of the day. And it's not about your belief. It's about your action. your action, you know? And that's why I said this years ago when people, you know, when I first became a Sabbath keeper, people would say, do you believe in the Sabbath? Yeah, I believe in the Sabbath. But then after a while, after studying, I stopped saying that. I stopped saying I believe in the Sabbath, and I said I keep the Sabbath. Because there's a difference. The demons believe, right? But the demons don't keep. So we don't want to just believe in the Sabbath. We want to keep the Sabbath. We don't want to just believe in Yahweh's doctrine. We want to keep it. And like I said, at the end of the day, when you ask yourself, whom do you serve? It's all about your the relationship you have. And that's what Yahweh's seeking. The doctrine and the holy days and all these other things are just avenues to help us have that relationship. But at the end of the day, what he's seeking is a relationship with us. And if you doubt that Yahweh can protect you, then why would you expect him to give you anything? Why would you expect them? And a lot of times, the only time people cry out to Yahweh is when they're run out of other avenues. You know, there's nothing else that's there. You know, it could be someone on the deathbed or maybe themselves on the deathbed or find out they have cancer or whatever it is. And now they're going to cry out to him only out of desperation, not out of faith. And, you know, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And that's why we need to be building the faith while it's called today, like it says in Hebrews 3, because the day is going far quick, and this day will not always be here. 1 John 4 and verse 15. 1 John 4 and verse 15 says, whoever confesses that Yeshua is the Son of Yahweh, Elohim abides in him, and he in Elohim. And we have known and have believed the love which Elohim has in us. Yahweh is love, and the one abiding in love abides in Yahweh, and Yahweh in him. By this, love has been perfected with us, that we have confidence in the day of judgment. That is, he is, we are also in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and the one fearing has not been perfected in love. So the people that are making decisions, and the people that have more fear of the New World Order, and, you know, we're going to talk about not just what will that fear lead to? And what are the things that are going to be, you know, restricted on us that are already restricted and are getting worse with restriction? But you can't have both. There is no fear in love. And that's the point. Like I said, doctrine is in love. You know, if we love Yahweh, we keep his commandments, but we have to keep his commandments out of love. We can't keep his commandments just because of something else. So there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. But fear does have torment. And that's what we see as people that aren't loving Yahweh with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength. What's happening? They're getting fear of the things coming, and that fear leads to torment. And I see it. You know, I see it. I see it mostly in Western society, but also to a degree in the third world, but there are people that are being tormented because of the fear of the things that are coming. And it is pretty fearful if you don't have faith in Yahweh, but we have to make sure. And that's why I say doubt brings fear. Doubt brings fear. You know, if you have any doubt in your life of anything, you got to get rid of it. And because doubt will bring fear and selfish motives. And at the end of the day, human nature that is evil will do anything to survive. You know, you hear these stories of plane crash up in the mountains somewhere in the snow, that people even ate somebody else, you know, to survive, the person that died or whatever. And the Bible even says it. People will be eating their own children. They did it in Bible times, you know, when there was starvation or when the Romans came in. So we've seen nothing yet of how evil human nature can be, but we're upon that time where you're going to see it. And that's why, like I said, we have to make sure whom we're serving. We have to make sure that we're serving Yahweh. We have no fear of global government, of world vaccines, of Mark of the Beast, or any of this other stuff. And unfortunately, even family members and friends will betray each other. Matthew 10 and verse 16. Matthew 10 and verse 16. He says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, right? And you look at sheep, that's pretty big because sheep can't defend themselves. And sheep are afraid and sheep stick together, but they don't have too many defenses, you know? And it's interesting because most animals have some kind of defense to themselves. Sheep really have no defense except their shepherd. And that's why you stay close to the shepherd. But he says, I'm going to send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. You know, wolves will destroy them. He says, therefore be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Right? So we don't have to be stocking our houses with all kinds of guns and ammunition and cannons and all kinds of other stuff, because that's not what's going to save you in the end time. You know, knowing whom you serve and faith in Yahweh, that's what's going to save you. He says, but beware of men, for they will deliver you to the house of judgment and will scourge you in their assemblies. And also you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them and to the Gentiles, just like the Apostle Paul was, right? But when they deliver you up, do not be anxious how or what you should say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you will say. For you are not the one speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaks in you. And we got to think about this every time we have opportunity to witness for Yahweh somewhere. You know, like I said, I would have never thought 25 years ago that Yahweh would have me go to world leaders and go to parliaments and be able to speak to, you know, sometimes presidents of countries or foreign ministers or whatever it could be. But I don't think about it. I pray about it, but I'm not worried about it because the Holy Spirit will put it in. And you don't know. You don't know where Yahweh will bring you to. It might not even be a world leader. It might be someone as simple as your neighbor, you know, or somebody else. But we don't have to worry because the Holy Spirit will put the words in us when we need it. But what we need to do is prepare. We need to be reading that Bible every day and putting the words in there so that when the Holy Spirit needs to get it out, it's inside of you. If you're not reading it, it's not going to come from nowhere, you know. So we have our part that we have to do, and then Yahweh will do his part. He says, but brother will betray brother to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against parents and will put them to death. Can you imagine? Wow. And you will be hated by all on account of my name, but the one enduring to the end will be saved. You will be hated by all on account of my name. You know, and like I said, we haven't seen nothing yet. Then now all of a sudden, right, about not taking a vaccine that possibly can kill you, something that is not good for your body, that has all kinds of poisons inside of it, that it's not only now about the government forcing it on you, it's about your neighbor. Why aren't you vaccinated? You know, it's about pressure, even from family members. You're not vaccinated, don't come near me. You know, so like it says, you'll be hated by all on account of my name. And now, just recently, even in United States, of this law that's come up that, you know, against supposedly Trump supporters, right? The white supremacists. But look what's in that law, that they say belief. If you believe that you're an Israelite, if you believe that we're from the tribes of Israel, that's actually white supremacy. And it's hate speech. Just like they said, the Bible is hate speech, right? So don't be surprised at it, because Satan is the Elohim of this world. He's the God of this world, right? And like it says, he comes as an angel of light, but he's a roaring lion looking who he can deceive. So these people that are running the world, you know, the people that are making these decisions, you know, that are locking down countries, that are forcing vaccinating passports, these are people that are led by Satan. In the end time, we'll read it here. It's a worldwide government that Satan is leading, not Yahweh. So we have no commission, you know, we're not to fight them. I'm not saying fight against the government, but certainly I'm saying, whom do you serve? You know, when Yeshua came before Pilate, right? What did he say to Pilate? He wasn't serving Rome. He wasn't being subservient to Rome. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. We're ambassadors for a higher power. So we don't have to fight the New World Order, but we certainly don't have to submit to it, because it has nothing to do with us. We're not part of the society. But as we're going to see here, it might have something to do with you. If you're on Facebook and social media and you work in the world and live in the world and you want all the things in the world, then you might. You know, if you're part of Satan's society, then it might have something really to do with you. But if it's not and you're an ambassador of Yahweh, then it really has nothing to do with us. But friends, even family members will betray each other to survive. And you know, if you look at back in Nazi Germany, back in the 1930s and 1940s. One thing that was very interesting about it was, when you look at it, all seems so evil. And what they did was completely evil. But actually, to be honest with you, if you really look back at a lot of it, a lot of those Nazi soldiers were not evil like Hitler and the leaders. You know why they did what they did? Because if they didn't follow instructions and do that to the Jewish people and the Christians and the other ones that they were persecuting, it would have been done to them. And you think it's going to be any different today? I mean, already we see with COVID, you know, there were all these things about turning your neighbor. You see your neighbor with people, turning your neighbor, you know, and people are doing it. You know, I remember even with George Bush years back when they started the Patriot Act, the same kind of thing. You're a patriot if you're turning your neighbor, you know. So human nature is the same. It doesn't matter whether it's the Garden of Eden or the days of Noah or today. Human nature is the same, and we have to think about this. And like I said, many of those Nazi soldiers were just regular people. But when the time came, you either had to put on a uniform and a gun and do what they told you, or you were going to be in a prison. And that's the point, that if you don't have faith, fear and self-preservation will cause you to do almost anything. Let's go to Revelation 6. Revelation 6 and verse 9. This is the fifth seal, right? The great martyrism that's coming. It says, "And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those having been slain for the word of Yahweh and for the witness which they had," right? So you got a witness to the truth, and you have the opportunity. You could deny it, and there's people that say that. Well, you know, ha ha ha, I tricked them because I really believe it, but I denied Yeshua. But it's only words. Yahweh wouldn't want me to die, would he? Oh yeah. You deny me, I'll deny you. So if you think that's a defense before the throne of Yahweh, you're kidding yourself. These are people that were slain for the witness they had. "And they cried with a great voice, saying, Until when, holy and true Master Yahweh, do you not judge and take vengeance for our blood from those dwelling on the earth? And there was given to each a white robe, and it was said to them that they should rest yet a little time, until might be fulfilled, until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, those being about to be killed, even as they," right? So let me tell you, you're not going to die for a doubt. If you doubt Yahweh, if you doubt his commandments, if you doubt any of our beliefs, you're not going to die for a doubt. And that's why I've said this for years and years and years, you know, for people coming to faith, that they'll say, well, I believe in this, but I don't believe in this. And it's like, you got to get all doubt out of your life, because doubt will only lead to more doubt. And then it will lead to fear that will lead to torment. And decisions will be made. And like I said, you're not going to die for a doubt. You must be convicted of what you believe. Revelation 12 and verse 9. It says, "And the great dragon was cast out." And like I said, when you look at Revelation 12, this might have happened already. We're either at this spot or it might have already happened. Because this is the sign in heaven, the Revelation 12 sign that's already happened, right? And then after the sign that comes, there's war in heaven, that Satan is cast out. And then what happens after that? The woman is fleeing to the wilderness, where we're at this point now. So very likely Satan could have been cast out of heaven already, or this is at the spot we're at least at, where, you know. "And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent being called the devil and Satan. He, deceiving the whole inhabitable world, was cast out onto the earth, and his messengers were cast out with him." So, you know, it's funny when people say, like now, praise Yahweh that at least we can get news on our alternative things to be able to find out, like with COVID. COVID is such a lie of what they're telling you in the news. And people will say, but if it's not true, why would it be there? Well, it says it right here. Satan has deceived the whole world. And this is one of the big things. This is not, COVID is not a small thing that they're deceiving people on. Because these people taking the vaccine, and what's going to happen to their bodies, and what's going to happen, you know, in not the too distant future, is horrible. You're going to have worldwide something going on. But that's what it says. Satan has deceived the whole world, right? And his messengers are cast out with him. "And I heard a great voice in heaven which said, Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim and the dominion of his Messiah, because the accuser of our brethren is cast out, the one who accuses them day and night before Elohim. And they overcame him, overcame Satan, how? Because of the blood of the Lamb, right? The blood of Yeshua that covers us. And because of the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony or doctrine. The word that he gives us. And look at this last sentence. And they did not love their soul even until death. They did not love their soul. So, like I said, do you have more fear of the new world order or more faith in Yahweh? And that may be the $99,000 question that will depend where you're going to spend eternity. You know, whether it's in the kingdom of Yahweh or whether you go to the lake of fire. If you love your life in commercial Babylon, you will not die to self or hold to the truth. If you love your life in commercial Babylon, this is what I say where I think that some brethren, you know, might be deceived with themselves, that they think they've come out of the world because they meet on Saturday. They think they've come out of the world because they don't eat pork. They think they've come out of the world because maybe they wear the tzitzit. But, and those are all good things. Those are things that do sanctify us. Those are things, those are basic things that set us apart from the world. But there's much more to being kadosh, you know, like we talked about the last time, than just those few small things. That's the beginning of this walk. But the walk to sanctification is way, way more than that. And if your life is not separated from commercial Babylon, now when that mark comes, because that's what the mark is about. The mark doesn't affect the people of Yahweh that are out of the system. The mark is in the system. It has nothing to do with the people of Yahweh. It has everything to do with the system of Satan. So if you're not part of that system, that mark can't affect you in the least. If you love your life in commercial Babylon, you will not die to self or hold to the truth. Luke 21 and 25 and 26. Look what it says. Talk about fear in the end time. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars. We've seen some of these signs already, like the Revelation 12 sign. So we know we're living in these times. And on the earth will be anxiety of nations with bewilderment, roaring of sea and surf. We've seen this too. We've seen hurricanes and storms and all kinds of stuff. Men fainting from fear and expectation of the things coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Wow. And we see this with all kinds of stuff, even now with COVID. We see it with the things going on in the world. And now all the stuff that they're admitting there's UFOs out there. Where's that leading to? You know? Who knows? But you know they're going to say it. You know they're going to say they've made contact with alien life, and it'll be demon. It'll be a demon. But people are already scared to death. And like it says it here, people will be fearing. They'll be fearing because they don't have the relationship with Yahweh. Doubt, fear, it's the opposite of faith. When you have faith, you got nothing to worry about because there ain't anything up there that Yahweh didn't create. So whatever it is, whether it's a demon or whether it's a fallen seraph or whether, I don't know what it is. It might even be something we don't even know. But whatever it is, I can guarantee you Yahweh created it. Because there ain't anything in this entire universe that Yahweh didn't create. So I don't have to fear anything up there. But like I said, there'll be a lot of fear from people. Doubt, fear is the opposite of faith. And it will cause the people to take the mark. As we're going to see here. It's going to cause the people to take the mark. Revelation 13 in verse 4. Revelation 13 in verse 4. Because Satan has created this system of commercial Babylon, right? He used America to do it. America is the country of Babylon that has taken the system to the world. It's a worldwide trading system. The Bible tells us that. We don't have to guess it, right? But is it a system that people generally don't like? No. It's a system that people love. They love the system. They love it. And they love the things the system produces. So let's read it. Revelation 13. I'm going to start in verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, right? The devil. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with the beast, right? And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to it. And authority was given to attack 42 months. A mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And I was thinking, what is this mouth of the beast? I firmly believe the internet and social media is the mouth of the beast. There's no doubt about it. Because anything that happens within a matter of minutes, because everybody's on it, right? They can get this all over the world. And that's the mouth. And you know, speaking blasphemies? belief that we're Israelites is white supremacy? Where is that coming from? It's coming from the internet. It's coming from social media and these things, right? All these things, Yahweh doesn't exist, evolution, everything. All they have to do is put it out there. But that's the mouth speaking great blasphemies. And it opens its mouth in blasphemy toward Yahweh. It does it every day on there. Everything they're doing is blasphemy toward Yahweh. And blasphemy towards his name, right? They're blaspheming the name of Yahweh and his dwelling place and those dwelling in heaven. And it was given to make war with the saints and overcome them for a short time. But like I said, even that's a blessing. You know, there's only so much they can do with your body. And after that, there's nothing they can do with your soul. That belongs to Yahweh and that will be eternal. And authority was given to it over every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation. Where's the Bible say there's a world government? Right there. I just read it. And authority was given over every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation. And all those dwelling on the earth will worship him. Does it sound like they're against the system? No, they love it. They love it. Those of whom the names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, having been slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So, you know, it's almost like now with Revelation. I did that study on Revelation a couple of years ago. And it's an amazing study. It's online in the audio section. But almost now, you don't even have to interpret it. Everything is happening. You know, we're seeing it before, so all you have to do is read it, and then your mind is thinking, oh, wow. It's like you could read, you know, everything happening in the world today is right here from this. So people will follow whatever benefits them, and they will turn on someone at the drop of a dime, right? Like I said, just like COVID, turning your neighbors, you know, you see six people keeping Thanksgiving and the police busting in the house and taking them out to prison. You know, because they're violating the rules. And they're being paid money to turn on their neighbors. The New World Order is making the people of Yahweh enemies of the state. And that's what it's come down to. Like it says right here. They're blaspheming Yahweh. They're blaspheming his word. They're making the Bible hate speech. Like I said, the belief that we're Israelites is now all of a sudden white supremacy. And those not taking the vaccine are causing the pandemic. So you know it's coming. They even admitted a big wave is going to come this fall. And you know what it's going to be blamed on? It's going to be blamed on the people who didn't take the vaccine. We did this. Even though they already have proof that if you took the vaccine and you're near COVID, you are way more susceptible to get it than if you didn't take the vaccine. That's a fact. But this is what it comes down to. This is why I said Satan's world, calling good for evil and evil for good. Drop down to verse 16. And the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the freemen and the slaves, right? It causes that they give them all a mark on their right hand and in their foreheads. The small and the great, the rich and the poor and the freemen and the slaves. Isn't it interesting that this vaccine is for everyone on the planet? It doesn't matter, right? And they'll even show you. Bill Gates, right? The big trader, the big guy who's the millionaire. He's taking it right on TV, right? The small and the great, the rich and the poor. So it doesn't matter if you live in Africa or you live in the United States, you can get this vaccine. But it doesn't say they take the vaccine. It says that this beast power causes that they give them. There's a cause to it. You know why? Because a lot of people wouldn't take it if there wasn't a cause. Even the average person out there, why would he take it? You got to give him some kind of incentive. But now they're even giving lotteries. They're giving people $1 million. You know, you could win $1 million by taking this. And you know who doesn't want to take it? The real staunch back of the woods, you know, redneck Americans, right? That have their guns and they have their long beards. So you know what they're doing? They're saying they'll even give away free guns and beer. I mean, come on. Why? They don't want to stop the virus, but they want to make sure everyone gets the vaccine. That's what it's been about from the beginning. Has nothing to do with the virus, okay? Nothing to do with the virus. It's all about the vaccine. Because the vaccine is the first step to control the people. And they already have the nano chips that will go in your hand that will monitor all the vaccines because you're going to have to take them at least once or twice a year anyway. And every time you do it, it's going to ruin your health more. And that nano chip that's in your hand, and that's the way they'll control you, and even your buying and selling will be by that. And they already have this. It's already patented. They already created it. We already know it. I've already seen pictures of it. It's just a little thing that presses with these little, they say like snake-like teeth, and it goes right under your skin, and they're causing, they brought the cause The cause is COVID, right? The cause is the disease, and the vaccine is the answer for them. So they cause the people. And you know what's interesting? It says the right hand of the forehead. We already said that this nano tattoo that they're bringing, that goes in your right hand. But the other thing that I find interesting, it says it's in the forehead. And in a lot of places in the world, and I know that they've done it where we are, they have these little, like, they look like guns. They almost look like the guns that they use when you're speeding. And when you go into a shopping center, you go into a medical place, you go somewhere, they click it in your forehead because they're checking your temperature with it. And every time that happens, when that guy's pointing that gun at my forehead and clicking it, I'm thinking of the scripture. In the right hand, in the forehead. Because you know what that's going to read eventually? It's not going to read your temperature. It's going to read that chip that's in your hand. They'll click it in your forehead and it will come on their screen. It will tell you when you were vaccinated and the last time you did this and that and everything that's about you on there. So, and like I said, this isn't something we have to guess. It's here. They already have it. They already have the technology. Even that no one could buy or sell except the one having the mark or the name of the beast or the number of its name. We know 666, right? Six is the number of man. Three is the number of unity. Man unified against Yahweh, you know. And where does 666 come from? Because there's no numbers originally, right? In Hebrew, they're only letters. So the letter represents a number. The Aleph is a 1. The Bet is a 2. And the Wav. The Wav is a 6. The W. So it's WWW666. I mean, you couldn't, if you were Steven Spielberg, you couldn't write this any better than this, you know? And yet it's all there. For him to have eyes to see and ears to hear. If you don't, you know, because if you love the system and you don't want to come out of that system, well, you won't see a word of any of it. It won't matter what somebody says or doesn't say. You know, it's that simple. And this is what it's about. Whom do you serve? Do you serve Yahweh or do you serve the New World Order? You know, that's what it comes down to. Whom do you serve? Daniel 8 and verse 23. Another thing that we learn from this beast power and the man who's going to be the leader of it is pretty interesting. Because people wonder, you know, well, why would the government do this? Why would the government do something to hurt you? Because the Bible says it. The government is not for you. It's a satanic government. It says that Satan is the G-O-D, the God of this world, not Yahweh. And he is there to hurt you and he is there to deceive you. It says Satan has deceived the whole world. So if you're naively going to, you know, go to your grave with why would the government do this, then, you know, you're just making excuses because you don't want to come out of the system. As if the government ever, any government ever cared for their people anyway. Daniel 8 verse 23 says, and in the latter time of their kingdom, so this is the end time kingdom of the beast, it says when the apostasy has been complete. So this whole thing is nothing but an apostasy. It's all a big lie. It's all a big commission to because Satan is doing all these lying signs and wonders to get everybody under his control and under his mark. It says a king strong of face and understanding dark sentences will stand up. So this is the literal. There's a beast power. That's the worldwide government. But then there's a person who will literally be by either Satan or Satan's demon, Abaddon, he'll be possessed, you know, by a demon that's going to be there. And it says his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, right? Because he's going to be possessed. And he will destroy wondrously, and he will prosper and work and destroy the powerful and the holy people. So it's not going to be a good guy, but to the world he's going to seem good, right? And also through his policy. So now he's making policy, right? He's making world laws. He's making policy. He will make deceit succeed in his land. Through his policy, he will make deceit. So it's all deceitful. And even with COVID, right? You know, whatever you believe in it, right or wrong, I mean, there is a real COVID. There really is a virus. There's, you know, there's nobody's denying that. But my question is, a virus that has a 99.58 survival rate, why would you have to lock down the world? Why would you lock down the world? Why would you try to force every human being on the planet to take a vaccine against something that has a 99.58 survival rate? If someone wants to take the vaccine, then that's their business, but why would you force it? Children, that's even less. 99.995 of a child dying from COVID, and now they're vaccinating kids that are, you know, 10, 12, 13 years old, not knowing what it's going to do to their body, and then the sickness that it's going to bring, and also sterility and all these other things that'll be there. But that's what it says. He makes deceit. He will make deceit succeed. And isn't it interesting that just 3 months before COVID hit, something that hasn't hit ever like this in at least in 100 years, right from the Spanish flu, what were they practicing? Look it up for yourself, Global 201. They were practicing the pandemic exactly like it happened. Can that be a coincidence? No. Not when it says Satan has deceived the whole world. Not when it says the beast power is going to do this. Not when we see already now forced vaccinations and mark of the beast and everything else. No. No. But you know why people will believe it? Because they love the system more than they love Yahweh. And we know who most people serve. They serve the God of this world. They don't serve Yahweh. So the false leader will control the people by deceit. It's that simple. That's why I say, man, be careful what you watch. Because there's even brethren that have been hooked up on all kinds of false things, whether it's false things with aliens or false things with the rotating Sabbath or false things with the flat earth. They're all false. They're not true. And there's people that have been hooked on that. And now all of a sudden they're losing the good news message. They're losing the blood of Yeshua over a lie. Satan has deceived the whole world. And he's got baskets everywhere. And that's what they're trying to catch people everywhere they can. Revelation 18. Because I want to show you why people allow themselves to get deceived. Because they don't only love the things of Babylon, they're addicted to them. Just like a drug addict is addicted to drugs or an alcoholic is addicted to alcohol. They're addicted to them. They're addicted. They're addicted to all the things of Babylon and whatnot. And it says, and after these things I saw another cherub coming down out of heaven, having great authority, and the earth was lighted up from his glory. And he cried in a loud voice, in a strong great voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, it is fallen, it has become a dwelling place of those possessed by demons, and a home of every foul spirit, and a home of every unclean spirit, even the home of every unclean and hateful beast. And I think we're there. I said this even a couple of years. I think Babylon has already fallen. Maybe it's not out yet financially, but if you look more morality and all the other things here, wow, I think Babylon is done. Because of the wine of the anger of her fornication, which all the nations have drunk, even the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth became rich from the power of her trade. Who else is it? Nobody else on earth has made all the merchants of the earth rich through her trade but Babylon. And I heard another voice out of heaven saying, leave the land of her, come out of her, leave the land. My people, that you may not share in her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues. And those plagues are already upon them. Those plagues are already there. But it's not just to the brethren in Babylon, it's to physically leave the land, yes. But it's to all brethren all over the world, it's to come out of the system. So don't think that if you're hearing this and you're not living in Babylon, well, that doesn't pertain to me. It pertains to every one of us. Because that's what the Mark of the Beast is about. The Mark of the Beast isn't about the land of Babylon, but the Mark of the Beast has everything to do with the system of Babylon. And that's why Babylon is destroyed because of it. Because they made this trading system. And they made this money system. And now they made the technology to do the trading by computer chip. It all came from Babylon. Because her sins joined together reached up to heaven, and Yahweh remembered her unjust deeds. Give back to her as also she gave back to you, and double to her double according to her works, and the cup she mixed to her double. By what thing she glorified herself and luxuriated, by so much give back to her torment and mourning, because she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I will not be a widow, and I will not see sorrow. And this is what most of the people in Babylon say, not the brethren, but that's the people, and that's why they're going to take the mark, and that's why they'll turn on you, because they don't want to give up their luxuries. They don't want to live a life, you know, like maybe in the third world. Because of this, in one day, plagues will come, death and mourning and famine, and she will be consumed with fire. You know, we were seeing for the last couple of years, California burning, the whole West burning. A matter of fact, not just California. For Yahweh Elohim judging her is strong, and the kings of the earth will weep for her and will wail for her. Those having fornicated and having luxuriated with her when they see the smoke of her burning. Why? Standing from afar because of her torment, saying, woe, woe to the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour judgment came. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their merchandise anymore, right? China may be a seller, but China ain't a buyer. You know, if China went down tomorrow, nobody's going to be crying that they're not buying their Chinese merchandise, you know. Because China is not the buyer, right? China is the seller. America is the buyer. America consumes close to a third of all the consumption in the world. So America is buying from China, they're buying from Germany, they're buying from everybody. Because Americans have a propensity to buying people's junk, you know. Hey, everybody loves a good white sale, right? A good flea market. But what are we going to do? But people are addicted to the things of Babylon. You must come out of the system so there's no temptation to stay. That's going to be the only temptation with the mark of the beast. And I look now, you know, I see in this cancel culture and all this stuff, and I got thrown off of Facebook and I got censured on Twitter. And I'm like, man, am I glad I'm not on any of that stuff. So when the mark of the beast comes, and we're just about there with it, right? Because the vaccine is already here. The vaccine's the prelude. It's not the mark, but it's leading into this. If you're out of the system and you're not in Satan's system, then it's not going to affect you at all. But wow, if you work in that system and buy in that system and need that system and your medicine's in that system, you're going to have nowhere to turn to. And praise Yahweh, even herbal-wise, you can grow any herb in the world that's 100 times better than any medicine you're getting at a pharmacy that's there to kill you. Because it says it with Babylon. Look at verse 23. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, by your pharmakia, by your pharmacies, all the earth were deceived. Anything you could get. You know, your cholesterol's high? There's something you could take naturally. You know, your blood pressure's high? Something you could take naturally. You know, you don't have to go to Babylon's pharmakia and then have to take the mark to be able to get your medicine, or you think you're going to die. And I'm telling you, we're running out of time. You know, this is a valid decision now. You better make that choice quick. Because I'm telling you, the people that are faithless in this world, they will never in a million years. And even people saying they wouldn't take the vaccine right now, watch. Watch if it comes down. If you can't lose a job, or you're worried because you can't get on an airplane. You think when it comes down to starving to death or eating, you're not going to take that mark? You better believe they are. Because they don't believe Yahweh. They simply don't believe Yahweh. And like I said, you have to come out of the system so there's no temptation. There'll be no temptation to be able to take it. Judges 15 and verse 9. This is a really important scripture to show you what I'm talking about here in this sermon. Whom do you serve? This is with Samson. And this is where, if you remember, that Samson is there, right? And he's set apart by Yahweh, right? Because he's going to lead that country. And Samson's a big, strong guy. So physically, you know, if you were an Israelite in that day, I think you'd feel pretty good. We got the biggest guy on earth and about the strongest guy. And this is one story with Samson that if I didn't have full faith in Yahweh, I would think this can't be true. Come on, how could this guy tie 300 tails together of foxes? How could he run up and take these doors that are maybe 400 pounds and carry them on his back and run? But it is. How can you take a jawbone of a donkey and kill, you know, 1,000 people with it? But if it says it is true. So one thing is, if you were there, you would think, wow, we got Samson. We can't lose. But look what the people say. Judges 15 and verse 9. And the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and was spread out in Lehi. Now they're coming after Samson, because Samson just whacked them again. And they're coming after him. And do the people of Judah support him? Look what happens. And the men of Judah say, why have you come against us? And they, the Philistines, said, we have come to bind Samson to do to him as he has done to us. And 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock in Etam, and said to Samson, do you know that the Philistines are rulers over us? And what is this that you have done to us? And he said to them, they did it to me and I did it to them. And then they said, we're going to bind you. Can you imagine? Instead of getting behind him, they're binding him and giving him over to the Philistines. And why? Because he said, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? You know, the last I remember, and I've been here. I've been to this. I've been to Eshkol. I've been to all those places there, right? That's the land of Israel. That is the land of Israel. This is not that far from when Joshua took them into the promised land. You know, you're talking a few hundred years. And here's Samson, who there's no doubt that Yahweh's with this guy. There's nobody on earth that can do what he's doing if Yahweh wasn't with him. And their answer is, don't you know the Philistines rule over us? And you have the same today. Instead of people trusting in Yahweh, they're worried and they're fearful of the New World Order. They're fearful of global government. They're fearful of the cancel culture. They're fearful of social media and being marked and all this other stuff. But can you imagine that these Israelites, they're admitting, whom do you serve? And they're saying, we serve the Philistines. Let's not get them mad. The same way the Israelites were saying to Moses, we want to go back to Egypt. And the same way people today, and I'll tell you something, even some brethren that, you know, they'll use this excuse, well, we have to follow government. Of course we have to follow government. There's nothing I've said to this point that I didn't say a word about not following government and laws. And I'm always for following government and laws. But people will use that excuse for working in the system, taking the vaccine and taking the mark of the beast. You know, whom do you serve? Do you serve Yahweh or do you serve the New World Order? It's that simple. And there's nothing in Scripture that says you have to serve the New World Order. The opposite. The same as Yeshua said. Yeshua didn't fight the Romans, but he certainly didn't serve the Romans. Because he was a king on his own, and his kingdom was not of this world. So, like I said, I'm not telling anyone to fight anybody. That's not the point of the message. The point is, whom do you serve? And if we're serving Yahweh, he will fight for us. He will fight for us. And let us stand still. That's what it comes down to. You know, but Romans 6:16 says you are the servant of what you obey, right? You are the servant of what you obey. So anybody that's kidding themselves that they love the system so much, they're not going to come out of that system. And then they're going to use a scripture that we're supposed to obey government. They're kidding themselves because that's not obeying. You obey the government of Yahweh before the government of man. It's that simple. You obey the government of Yahweh before the government of man. You are the servant of what you obey. And unfortunately, many are servants to the system. And that's why they don't want to be cut out of that system. And where do you put the line in the sand? This is something, as a people, we should have been where the Amish are. As a people, we should have never allowed to be part of this system the way that brethren are today. We should have been like the Amish. And yet now, Yahweh opened this in the end, the Philadelphia experiment, and showing us that we need to get more like them. And the Amish don't have a problem. They certainly don't have a problem with the mark of the beast and these other things, because they have a whole system. They have communities the same way we have communities. But people fear the cancel culture, losing their job, being cut off from Facebook, you know, and social media, not being able to go to sporting events and theaters or restaurants, you know, in public parks, or maybe even not being able to travel on an airplane. So be it. So be it. Because people are faithless in Yahweh and only have faith in the system of Babylon. They will take the mark of the beast like a drug addict needing his next fix. And here we are. Here we are. Because we're at this point. We don't have to guess anymore. It's right there before us. So what is it going to be? Is it going to be faith in Yahweh? Or are you going to kid yourself in the system? Leviticus 26. Because I want to read here. We're just about done. But I want to read the promises that Yahweh gives us. If we show faith in him and obedience to him. Leviticus 26 and verse 2 says, you shall keep my Sabbaths and revere my sanctuary. I am Yahweh. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rains in their season, and the lamb will give her produce, and the tree of the field will give its fruit. Right? This is all stuff on communities. This is stuff that happens on the land. You know, this is where Yahweh can bless us outside of the system. And your threshing shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage will reach the sowing time. And you will eat your bread to satisfaction and live in your land securely. And I will give peace in the land, and you will lie down, and none will terrify you. And I will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land, and the sword will not pass over into your land. And you will pursue your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you will pursue 100, and 100 of you will pursue 10,000. And your enemies will fall before you by the sword. And I will turn my face toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you and will establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat the very old store, right? Shemitah blessing. And clear away the old store before the new. And I will set my tabernacle in your midst, and my soul shall not loathe you. And I will walk always in your midst, and shall be Elohim to you, and you will be people to me. Wow. Wow. This is in all our communities. This is Yahweh's promise if we're obedient to him. Right? Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. He says, set your way of life without money loving, being satisfied with present things. For he said, not at all will I leave you nor forsake you, never. So that we may boldly say, Yahweh is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of Elohim to you, considering the completeness of their works, imitate their faith. Yeshua Messiah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yahweh doesn't change. The same Yahweh who parted that Red Sea is here today. And like I said, if we look in our life every day, we could see miracles that he's doing to protect us. Right? Last scripture I want to go over. You know, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And are we setting an example of faith for others or an example of fear? And that's why I say it's important. You better, the people you're going to be near are the people that you may be near until the kingdom comes. Because there will be travel restrictions very soon. And where you are at, that's where you're going to be. And you want to be around people that build your faith, not tear it down. Psalm 91. Psalm 91, last scripture. He goes, who is our refuge? And whom do we serve? It's Yahweh, not the New World Order. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shade of the Almighty. Right? We're under his wing in the shade. I will say to Yahweh, my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim, I will trust in him. For he delivers you from the foulest snare, from the destruction's plague. Right? None of our people have gotten COVID in the world, except a few in Babylon. But outside of there, no one got it and no one died. Nobody from our congregation has died from it. But I'm amazed that even in the third world, no one has even contracted it. Not even one person. So he will keep us from the destruction's plague. With his feathers he will cover you, and under his wings you shall seek refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. You shall not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, of the plague that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction laying waste at noon. 1,000 will fall by your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near to you. Only with your eyes you will look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you, O Yahweh, are my refuge, you made the Most High your habitation. No evil shall happen to you, nor shall any plague come near your tent. For he shall give his cherubs charge over you and keep you in all their ways, in all your ways. They shall bear you up on their hands, and you shall not dash your foot on a stone. Because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in distress. I will rescue him and honor him. I will satisfy him with length of days and will make him see my Yeshua. And this is amazing. So many people through the years have told me how much Psalm 91 means to them and how they count on Psalm 91. But what's really interesting is that in verse 12 and 13, these are the exact words that Yeshua used against Satan when Satan was tempting him, right? He exactly used these words from Psalm 91 to overcome Satan, and that's what we have to do. We have to use the word of Yahweh when we're overcoming. We need to be in the Word if we want to endure until the end. Our hope is not in the New World Order. It's not in these things in this world. We should be abstaining from them. But it's in the kingdom of Yahweh. Not this world in its demonic system. Our refuge is Yahweh. We must trust him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, so that Satan will not be able to tempt you by fear and the wares of Babylon. Your priority is what you get done. If you have time every day for work and a worldly job, endless time on the internet and texting and social media and all the other things, and you're not studying and praying and fulfilling the Matthew 28 commission of his end time work, then you really need to ask yourself, whom do I serve? Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.